Oh, come right in. Oh, George, we've got company.
This is Bill Goodwin speaking for Lever Brothers, makers of Swan, the new white floating soap that's pure as fine Castiles. Well, it's Tuesday night again, time for another pleasant visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen, our guests, the Columbia star, Rita Hayworth, with Jimmy Cash, the Swan Ted, and Felix Mills and his orchestra. And now, meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie. Well, Gracie has spent a very happy afternoon getting the complete works at her favorite beauty shop. She's just leaving when someone calls her name.
Hello, Gracie.
Why, it's Rita Hayworth. Oh, my, it's nice to see you again. It's been a long time.
Yes, I believe the last time was at my wedding.
That's right. George and I still talk about the day you became Mrs. Orson Welles. We'll never forget it.
Neither will I, Gracie.
Well, it was just the first time we'd ever seen a groom usher in the guests, play the organ, carry the bride's bouquet, and throw rice at himself.
Yes, it was a typical Wells production.
Oh, such a versatile boy. I hope you didn't mind my crying at your wedding, Rita. I always cry at weddings. I even cried at my own. I don't know why.
You married George Burns, didn't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rita, I'll bet a lot of women wonder what it's like to be married to a genius.
Yes, they do.
Well, sit down and I'll tell you.
You'll tell me.
Yeah. Oh, I almost forgot. You married one, too.
Gracie, this beauty shop is new to me. What girl do you recommend for a manicure?
Oh, well, Edna knows more about fixing the cuticle.
Yes.
And Betty knows more about putting on the polish.
Yes.
But I always go to Lucille.
Why?
Well, she knows more about the other customers.
Thanks, Gracie. That's the girl for me. Oh, not that I believe the gossip I hear at a beauty shop.
Oh, well, neither do I. I just let it go in one ear.
Yes. Yes, it's unreliable.
Oh, I know you like this shop, Rita. I've been coming here for years.
Good.
Of course, lots of people don't understand why I bother with beauty shops. They think I don't need any treatments. What do you think?
I agree with them.
Oh, Rita, the things you say.
Well, it's true, Gracie. You always look so...
Attractive.
Yes. And so,
Alluring.
You're taking the words out of my mouth.
Well, I just wanted to be sure they were there.
Oh, Gracie, I always enjoy being with you. So much so that I'm going to ask you a favor.
Oh, what, Rita?
Well, I'm afraid to stay in that big house of mine.
Well, I shouldn't wonder with a man like Orson Welles around.
You don't understand, Gracie. Orson's away on business, and well, I'm afraid to stay there alone.
Oh.
So, would you come over and spend the night with me?
Oh, gee, I couldn't, Rita.
Oh, why not?
Well, George is afraid to stay home alone, too.
Well, then bring him along. I'd love to have you both.
Oh, it sounds like fun, but George might object because his nightshirts aren't back from the hardware store yet.
Don't you mean back from the laundry?
No, the hardware store. He's having some iron bolts sewed into the hems of his nightshirts to keep them from creeping up.
Well, don't let that worry you, Gracie. I can give George a pair of Orson's pajamas.
Oh, well, they'd be much too large for him. George is very petite, you know.
Oh, well, then he can wear a pair of my pajamas.
Oh, do you think they'd fit him?
Well, sure. I can take in the shoulders a little.
Oh. Oh, all right, Rita. We'll be over this evening.
Thanks, Gracie. Bye.
Bye. Hello, dear. I'm home at last.
Hello, darling.
Get your hat and coat, George. I've got a surprise for you. We're going to spend the night with a friend.
I've got a surprise for you. We're going to stay home.
But, George...
I'm tired, honey. I want to relax. I don't feel like sitting around listening to a lot of old jokes and dull conversation.
Well, you won't have to, George. We'll do all the talking.
Nothing doing. I've had a hard day.
But, George, it's Rita Hayworth who wants us to come over. Orson's out of town, and she's afraid to stay alone.
We'll have Rita come over here.
But if she comes over here and we go over there,
she'll still be alone. Yeah. Honey, I'm not leaving the house tonight. I plan to curl up with a magazine and a cigar.
Well, take them along.
I can't curl up at Rita Hayworth's house.
Oh, George, any place you smoke those cigars of yours, you're bound to curl up.
Forget it. I'm staying home.
But, George, Rita and I can't stay alone in that big house all night. We need a man. We need you.
You do, huh?
Yeah. Who's going to cook our breakfast?
Gracie, I have other plans. I'm not going out of the house tonight.
Come in.
Hi, folks.
Oh, hello, Bill.
Say, what's the matter, George? You look troubled.
Oh, Gracie's always throwing cold water on my plans. Now she wants me to spend the evening at Rita Hayworth's.
Oh, well, Gracie, splash a little of that stuff on me, will you?
You got the wrong idea. Just that Rita is afraid to stay home alone. Orson's out of town.
Oh. See, there's a lucky man, that Orson Welles, huh? Oh. Boy, what I wouldn't give to trade places with him.
Why, Bill!
Well, his place is only one block from the store that sells Swan, the new white floating soap. What a lucky man. Swan is four soaps in one, you know. The soap for your hands and face. I should know about that soap, shouldn't I? For bathing the baby and for dishes and light laundry. Yes, and Swan is four swell soaps in one.
A great wartime buy.
Hey, how'd you know that?
I heard it someplace. Can't remember where.
Bill, I thought you were envious of Orson because of Rita.
Well, I am, Gracie. Gee, he has twice as much fun as I do.
Sure.
Sure, there's two of them, so he has twice as many dishes he can wash with Swan. Oh, that's really fun. Those long-lasting Swan suds make short work of dishes. And Swan is so mild and gentle, it helps keep your hands looking soft and lovely. Yes, and don't forget, Swan is the soap that's pure as imported Castiles.
Bill, see if you can talk George into going over to Rita's with me.
It won't do any good. I'm staying right here.
Well, then I'll have to go by myself.
You mean you're going to leave me here alone tonight?
Well, you're not afraid, are you?
Me afraid?
Oh, well, all right. Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye. Me afraid. Did you hear that, Bill? Bill. Bill. Where are you? Bill. Oh, gosh. Wait, Gracie, I'm coming with you.
Mama's little commando.
Jimmy Cash sings an old favorite tonight, the romantic ballad, Wonderful One.
My wonderful one, whenever I'm dreaming, love's love light a-gleaming I see. My wonderful one, how my arms ache to hold you, to cuddle. Shadowy twilight, in silvery moonlight, there's none like you. I adore you, my life I live for you, my wonderful.
Nice place Rita and Orson have. Let's go in, Gracie.
Well, wait a minute, dear. I want you to make a good impression on Rita. Stand up straight and pull in your chest.
pull in my chest?
Well, what if it has changed location? To me, it'll always be your chest.
It's in, it's in.
Every wife likes to be proud of her husband, darling. And I want to be as proud of you as Rita is of Orson. Straighten your tie.
Okay, my tie's straight.
I want to show Rita I can pick them better than she can.
Oh, thanks.
See, she picks Orson's ties, too.
Let's go in.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, remember to watch your manners and don't put your feet on the table unless you take your shoes off first. Don't come down to breakfast in your nightshirt unless Rita does.
Look, Gracie,
no,
let's...
Just a minute, George. I want to show Rita that you're just as intelligent as her husband. So discuss things like taxes and rationing and the soldiers' vote and... Say, George, what is it the soldiers want to vote for?
For president, of course.
But we've got a president.
I know, but every 4 years we elect a new one.
Silly boy.
Come on, let's go in.
Now, remember, George, I want Rita to see that my husband is just as smart as hers, so act intelligent.
Hello, Gracie.
Hello.
Hello, George. Come right in.
Well, thank you, Rita.
Well, Rita, you don't have to worry about being frightened now. I brought a man along.
Oh, I'm so glad. Where is he? Putting the car away?
Huh?
Oh, you mean George. Excuse me. You know how it is. Wives don't think of husbands as being men.
Oh, well, speak for yourself, Rita.
Now, George, you take Orson's room at the head of the stairs. I'm sorry Orson isn't here. He'd show you up.
Oh, no, he wouldn't. George is just as smart as he is.
Gracie.
Now, go on, George. Be intelligent for Rita. Give us your opinion on rationing. How shall we solve the sugar shortage?
Look, honey.
Honey! Oh! He solved it! Now, George, what shall we do about the black market?
Oh, stop it.
Stop it! Oh! Now, why couldn't the government think of that?
All right, Gracie, that's enough now.
Oh, well, I want to show you off, darling. Now, say something intelligent about the war. You see there? What other man would give you Hitler's viewpoint?
Look, I'll take my things up to the room now, Rita.
All right, George. Oh, by the way, Orson said if you'd like a little something to give you an appetite before dinner, just to help yourself.
Oh, really?
Yes, he left his rowing machine in his bedroom.
Oh, yeah, I'll take a few quick rows for myself. See you girls in a few minutes.
Well, there goes 132 pounds of solid intelligence. I'll never know how they squeeze such an enormous brain in that teensy tiny head.
Yes, I guess it is a close fit.
You know, it's a funny thing, Rita. Some women marry a man for his money, some for his looks, some for his mind. Guess I don't have to tell you why I married George.
No, I'm sure you had a good reason, too.
My goodness, we're awfully lucky to be married to such fine men.
Yes, we are, Gracie.
How did you meet Orson?
Well, he was doing a magic show, and he said if I'd let him saw me in two, he'd take me to the theater.
Oh, just like George. Do anything to get you in for half price. Say we're the luckiest two women on earth to have such wonderful husbands.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, and I think how close I came to marrying somebody else. I had lots of chances, too, you know. I guess you did, too, Rita.
Yes, a few.
Oh, yes. I can see how men would be attracted to you. You crochet beautifully.
Thank you.
Rita, we're really so lucky. Wasn't life empty before you got married?
Yes, it was. Just a lot of fellows sending you flowers and candy and rushing you off your feet all the time.
Oh, yeah. Every night another date. The theater, nightclubs, dances, wining and dining. And say, that was fun, wasn't it?
Yes. Come to think of it, it was.
I never see the inside of a nightclub anymore.
Neither do I.
Has Orson taken you to the theater lately?
Not since Citizen Kane.
bring you candy.
Well, once when I had a cold, he brought me some cough drops.
Oh, Gracie, isn't marriage miserable?
Oh, it's a mess. If we were only single again, we could go out with hundreds of handsome men. Hey, wait a minute. There aren't hundreds of handsome men around anymore.
That's right. If we were single now, we'd just sit around home. So I guess we're pretty lucky to be married, Gracie.
Yeah, even to our husbands.
I'll never complain again.
Well, neither will I. Here we are, both married to geniuses. Oh, and you have this lovely home.
Do you like it, Gracie? Orson designed it.
He did?
Yes.
Oh, George is clever, too. Beautiful furniture you have, Rita.
Orson built it.
He did?
Yes.
Oh, George is clever, too. Oh, that gorgeous painting over the fireplace. An original, isn't it?
Yes. Orson painted it.
Oh. And the rug?
Orson wove it.
Oh, I'm beginning to think that maybe Orson is cleverer than George.
Oh, let's forget about Orson. Come on into the kitchen and I'll whip up an omelet.
Oh, good.
Orson left some eggs in the icebox.
Oh, my goodness, he's even cleverer than George.
Time for Felix Mills and the orchestra, and tonight, with the Swantet, we hear a great little tune, Take It Easy, done in rumba style.
Don't you know it's more romantic when the dance is slow?
Take it easy,
take it easy. What's the good of feeling high when all the lights are low?
Take your time, dance it with ease.
Take your time, slow if you please. Take it easy, we've got lots of time ahead of us, the night is young.
Hey, take it easy!
Don't you know this music should be swayed instead of swung? Supposed to make the rumba jump. Take it easy, take it easy. If you don't, I fear that our romance will hit a bump. Don't you know it's time for romance when the music's sweet? You should really try to make your heart control your feet. Take it easy, take your time.
Rita, this is awful. Here I thought George was a genius, and now he turns out to be just the man I married.
Oh, it's nothing to get upset about, Gracie.
Oh, you don't understand, Rita. It's like having a great big dish of tutti frutti, and then the fruity melts away, and you're left with just the tutti.
Calm down, Gracie. You're twisting and wadding that handkerchief to shreds.
I can't help it. How would you feel if you suddenly found yourself married to just plain George Burns?
Give me the handkerchief.
Oh, Rita, I'm going to make George into a genius if it's the last thing I do. Will you help me?
What can I do?
Well, tell me, what makes Orson a genius?
He isn't, Gracie. He's just an average, normal, everyday man.
But doesn't he do anything unusual?
No. His daily routine is the same as any other man's. He goes to bed about 2 a.m.,
uh-huh.
Gets up at 3 and has a moon bath.
Mm-hmm.
And then he writes a couple of poems in Chinese, has a breakfast of 2 3-minute ostrich eggs, and translates the morning paper into Egyptian. By that time, his brain is awake and he goes to work.
Oh. Well, doesn't he have any recreation?
Oh, certainly. He enjoys the usual sports. Every spring, he swims upstream with a salmon.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, George is going to need a lot of changing. Well, I better get started. He's asleep up in his room. George, wake up.
Huh? What's the matter?
Well, it's almost time for your moon bath.
My what?
Your moon bath. And besides, you're not supposed to be in bed yet.
Why not?
Orson Welles goes to bed at 2 a.m.
Well, okay, I'll move over when he crawls in.
George, concentrate. Make up some poetry.
Poetry? Gracie, what have you been drinking?
Oh, go on, George. Poetry.
Mary had a little lamb.
Now, say it in Chinese.
Ming Toy had a little lamb.
Oh, that's wonderful. You're coming along fine. Do you think you can swim upstream with a salmon?
Well, couldn't I just fly south with the ducks?
Well, wait here. I'll find out. Rita, I think it's working. He almost looks intelligent.
Come in.
Hiya, girls.
Why, it's Bill.
Well, I thought I'd better drop by and see if you were frightened.
Frightened?
Well, yeah, you know, afraid of wolves and things.
No. No, we're not afraid of wolves. Come in.
Oh, thanks.
Bill, you're the first to hear the good news. A new Orson Welles has just been born.
No. Well, congratulations, Rita.
No, Bill. What Gracie means is that she's practically got herself a new husband.
Oh, well, congratulations, Gracie.
No. What we both mean is that we're making George into another Orson Welles.
Oh, now, look, girls. If you really want a new Orson Welles, just latch on to these resonant pear-shaped tones of mine.
You too?
Well, listen, you can't tell me from Orson when I read poetry. Now, just listen to this. For what is so rare as a bar of swan? The white floating soap that's 4 soaps in 1. For your hands and face, swan really lathers. Great for bathing babies or mothers and fathers. Swan's uses are many, varied and sundry. Great for the dishes or even light laundry.
I've never heard Orson do anything like that.
Really? Well, I can do Shakespeare just like him, too, Rita. Listen. Is this a bathtub I see before me? The faucet toward my hand? Come, let me clutch thee, for I must turn thee on and bathe the baby with swan.
Oh, Bill!
Swan art great for bathing the baby, pure as fine Castiles, you know. And if swan beeth so mild and gentle, it's kind to a baby's tender skin. Forsooth, it must be great for your complexion.
Oh, Bill, you better leave the Shakespeare to Orson.
Well, I'm just getting warmed up. But soft. What soap in yonder bathroom breaks? 'Tis swan. And you can leave half in yon bathroom for hands and face, tub or shower, and half in yon kitchen for dishes and cleaning. Ah, a swan, my kingdom.
Oh, Bill, you're getting hysterical.
He jests at scars that never felt a wound.
Oh, Bill, you'd better leave.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Ah! How do you like that? Me with my talent and Orson Welles gets Rita Hayworth.
Hey, what's going on around here?
Oh, George, you're up. But, darling, you forgot your slippers. Mama's little genius mustn't let his piggies get cold. I'll go up and get your slippers.
Rita, this place is turning into a madhouse. What's wrong with Gracie?
Oh, she thinks Orson is a genius, and she wants you to be like him.
Well, that means no rest from now on.
Say, it might cure Gracie if you became too much like Orson.
What do you mean?
Well, you just ham it up and leave the rest to me.
Well, okay.
All right, darling. Here are your slippers.
Take them away and bring me some leather.
Leather?
Yes, I'm in the mood to make my own slippers.
Oh. Oh, my goodness. What's come over you, George?
I'm obediently yours.
Why, he's getting more like Orson every minute.
I feel another mood coming on. Bring me a book.
I'll get you one from the library.
No, 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 that'll take too long. Give me a pencil and I'll write one.
Oh, sweetheart. Oh, I just knew you had it in you.
I'm obediently yours.
Here's the pencil, George.
Bring me some grapes. While I'm writing, I'll crush them with my feet and we'll have some wine.
Oh, darling, you're wonderful.
Say, about Temidus, my heart is
victory. What language are you speaking?
I've run out of languages. That's one I just made up.
You're so clever, so irresistibly brilliant. Come, sit here beside me.
I'm obediently yours.
Now, wait a minute.
Hold my hand and tell me that you love me.
George Burns, you let go of her hand.
Kiss me, my genius.
I'm obediently yours.
Don't you dare kiss him, Rita. Behave yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was carried away because he's so much like Orson. His every word, his every gesture.
Well, I don't like it. George, you stop being like Rita's husband.
But I thought you wanted me to be a genius.
Well, I've changed my mind. I'd rather have you be your own sweet, stupid self.
I'm obediently yours.
George and Gracie will be right back, which leaves me here to remind you that literally thousands of our men on the fighting fronts all over the world owe their very lives to sulfa drugs. Now, you know all about the sulfa drugs, but do you know that sulfa drugs are made with glycerin from the used kitchen fat that you turn into your dealers? So help save more lives by saving your used kitchen fat and turning it into your dealers. Remember, you not only get paid for your used kitchen fats, but now, in addition, you get 2 brown points. 2 ration points for every pound of fat you give. So get your points. But first, get that used fat to your butchers. Now, save every drop, even if it's burned or old. It's needed badly. And now here again are George and Gracie.
Oh, George, I have some wonderful news. Our guest next week will be Brian Ahern.
Brian Ahern, huh? Pretty handsome guy.
Oh, isn't he, though? I just adore that cute little dimple in his chin.
You do?
Yes. But don't worry, darling. You have more dimples than he has.
Really?
Sure. Of course, you have more chin.
I'm obediently yours.
Our guest tonight, Rita Hayworth, is soon to be seen in Columbia Pictures' Technicolor production, Covergirl. The makers of Swan, the new white floating soap, join George and Gracie in inviting you to tune into your Columbia station again next Tuesday, same time. And we'll have as our guest, Brian Ahern. This program is broadcast to our men and women in the armed services all over the world. Remember George Burns and Gracie Allen with our guest Brian Ahern, CBS, next Tuesday night. And now till next Tuesday, this is Bill Goodwin saying, well, I swan, how about you?